Things are changing pretty quick around us, aren't they? I've never seen so much change in all our lives. Totally a complete different way of living. I was sitting there thinking this week, and so many things have happened in my lifetime in industrial changes. How many of you, somebody tell me, let's just have a little fun here. Tell me the oldest thing that they don't have anymore that you remember. You once had, they don't have no more. Let's see.
Rotary phone.
Rotary phone, okay. What did you say? No, they don't have that anymore. Did you eat those mud pies? Okay, well.
I go back to the rotary. I had a crank phone when I was a child.
You had a what? Okay, yeah, you click it and, okay. Operators punching the buttons, yeah, that's old. We used those for many years. Had to get on there and click it for the operator. Yes, milk delivered to your doors in glass jars and horse and buggy. Ice. Yeah, my uncle was delivered ice with his horse, and they put that in the old boxes. Cotton patches. Well, you're getting dirty now. Miss Lily, what do you remember? The old irons that you set in the heat and then you got out. Yeah. Yeah, we had one of those too. Huh? Washboard, yeah. Grandma used to sit out with a washboard and scrub them old sheets and clothes. Ringer washers, them things that turn, yeah. I used to get my hands stuck in that thing. Party lines, yeah. We don't have those. Do y'all know what they're talking about when they say party lines? You still got one. Well, upgrade, Jimmy. You'll be surprised what they got now. All right. But we have made a lot of changes in our lives. I can remember the first television come out in Recklaw. My cousin had it. His mother worked for Sears and Roebuck, and they got a black and white TV. And I remember that. So many changes. And I put out here, we have now, through televisions. I just happened to be walking through Walmart the other day, and they've got a new television coming out now. 75-inch screens and stuff like that, and that thin, and they're smart televisions. You can talk on them and everything else nowadays, but computers were coming in our days, and, some of these are good and some of them are bad, but I think about all the changes that they have made in the United States. When did they really start making those changes? After World War II? Right? A lot of that in the 40s. Well, there's been so many changes. Well, there's one thing that has made a difference in our life tonight, and I want you to look at that. Galatians 2:20. My favorite passage of Scripture. I just love this passage of Scripture. Galatians 2:20. Because it's made a change in my life. And have you ever thought about the cross? The cross and how it changed your life. Unfortunately, we've categorized things of the cross, and we think that the only time we think of the cross is at Easter time, but I want to suggest to you tonight that it's an ongoing agent of change in our life. Look at what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. For I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Man, I tell you what, those words right there, till a whole lot. I'm crucified with Christ. It acts as a centerpiece that pierces the heart of one, changing that heart forever. In that passage of Scripture, Galatians 2:20, you know, it talks about, well, it talks about Christ. I can't even find Galatians in my Bible. There it is. Bill, what book is that? No, I've got it marked, so many marked up pages, I can't see it. Okay, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ, you see, the cross, crucified, and I. Those are the four elements that you find in that passage of Scripture. And it states that the cross is an agent of change in the life, I believe, not only of Paul, but every single one of us. When we read this verse, we all lift our heads in praise to the Lord. Without the cross, the crucifixion, boy, we are in a world of hurt, aren't we? I tell you what, this verse speaks of the truth and how it works in and through our lives. And when you talk about the cross, it literally pierces our hearts and changes our lives. Now, that's a change that has been made in my life since 1975. He really changed my life. Paul, being led by the Spirit of God, he says, I have been crucified. What was crucified with Jesus on the cross that day? Well, when you ask people what was crucified that day on the cross, you naturally think of the two thieves. They were crucified on the cross. But Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. He's talking about his total being in his life. Everything about Paul changed that day. His hopes that he had in his life, he changed those hopes. All the dreams, think about that. All the dreams that he had, and boy, he had zeal, didn't he? All his failures were changed that day. All his position and his power in his life. When I see Jesus Christ, and when I see him crucified on the cross, and myself being crucified with him there, all my hopes and all my dreams, all that I am, all my desires are left there at the cross. I've been crucified with Christ. Paul uses a tense called the perfect tense, and it's a past action that just continues on, and it results in his life. He continues on. He could not get over. In all his life, he could not get over the impact that the cross had on his life, or in his life. He was still changing every single day. He was still being pierced in the heart. Think about that. Every single day, doesn't the cross of Christ, doesn't being crucified with Christ pierce your heart in one way or the other? Doesn't it change you? Man, I tell you what, it changes me. When I think about, when I do something out of God's will or wrong, boom, I am pierced to the heart. I know that the old devil has raised his head, you see, and that cross changes my life. The Holy Spirit living inside of me. And it continues. Those results do not stop. They continue. For he says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Hey, that's interesting, isn't it? I'm no longer living, but Christ lives in me. All that I am belongs to Christ. Now, in our society, we're taught we live for ourselves, don't we? You live for yourself. Nobody else is going to take care of you out there in the world. Grab all the old commercial, beer commercial said, grab all the gusto you can, while you can. Do what you can. Live while you can, because, listen, life is short. No, Paul says live for the cross. My dreams, my hopes, my desires, everything, my guilts, my sins, my shame, they're dead on the cross. It's not me that lives, but Christ now lives in me. You see, sin is a fact of life. Some people say, well, you know, it's a shortcoming. But it's really more than a shortcoming. Sin is a mutiny against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's when we rebel against Christ. In our life, you see, we must die to sin. God, when sin enters our life, God dies or sin lives. It doesn't stay together. If sin rules me, guess what? God will die in my life. If God rules me, then sin dies in my life. And folks, that's what Paul says. We must let God live in our lives and be dead to sin. The whole message of the cross is you and I must die to ourselves. Listen to what Matthew 16, 25 says. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever desires to save his life is going to lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, Jesus says, will find life. And that's exactly what Paul did. He died. He said, I'm crucified with Christ on the cross that day. It's no longer I who live. My life died with him that day. I give up my desires. I give up my hopes. That's what we ought to be doing. My dreams? No. What does Christ want me to do with my life? You see? It's no longer I who live, but now it's Christ living in me. And Paul says, it's God lives in me. I've been crucified. Christ lives in me. What's wrong with our people today? They're living for themselves. And they have never been really crucified with Christ. You say, Lord, we want your will to be done in my life. But, wait, Lord, I've got a lot of things I need to do. And we start putting those things before God. We put our families before God. We put our kids before God. We put our stomachs before God so many times. No telling how many times I've seen people rush down to the restaurant and forget about the invitation. They don't want to make a decision for Christ. You know, that's, we got to get down there and eat. And then we put other things before God. And he says, no, when I am crucified with Christ, I am fully consumed with Christ. He must fill my life. You see, Paul says, he that loses his life for the sake of Christ will really find Christ, will find that life is abundant, will find that life. Isn't that what they all did that was in the Hebrews in the faith chapter? They were willing to lose their life for the sake of Christ. Christ was literally living in and through them. And they had assurance in their life. He said, and the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Galatians 5, 22 and 24 says the first fruit blessings are aspects of the Christian life. Let's look over and read them. Galatians 5, 24. It's just one page over. I'll probably try to find it. And those who are, let's start with the 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's being filled with Christ, letting His Spirit live in us, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Folks, when we're letting Christ live in us, that's what our lives put out. I'd whole lot rather be around somebody who is lovely and gentle and kind, you're not going to upset, than somebody that you just have to kind of walk on eggshells around, because you never know what's going to upset them in their life. And the key to living for Christ is kind of, it's just letting go of our life and letting Christ take over our life. The key to letting go of our life is letting Christ indwell our lives. You see? He literally becomes our life in Jesus Christ. And we can do that when we see that Christ was willing to give up his life for us. And then he laid down his life for us and he took it up again. It's just wonderful. Then we can lose our life to Christ. Because I know where he's at. And I know where I'm going, you see. And he's living in us. He overcame death. He rose again. And he lives at the right hand of God for all eternity. And one day he's coming back. And he says, the life I now live, he says, that's the I. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. He said, I'm living a different life than I used to live. Now, how about us? Are we living a different life than we used to live? I've watched people get saved, and I've watched God work in their life. I've watched them put on the fruits of Christ, and they put on that love and that joy. And sure enough, God just changes their life. They're no longer what they once were. And then I've watched others that wanted to hold on to their life and not lose it. And they fell more away from God because they wouldn't let God infill their life. And the Bible says, remember at the cross. What did we do at the cross? Well, when I went to the cross, when Christ went to the cross and he died for me and I died on the cross, I got rid of all that garbage in my life. It was crucified with him. All my dreams, they weren't much. All that bitterness that I held on for years. You know, why do we hold on to bitterness? It just makes our lives hurt, doesn't it? It does more damage to us than it does the ones we're bitter at. I've had people say, well, I'm mad at so-and-so. I'm not going to forever forgive him. You're not hurting him. You're hurting yourself. You see, you can't live with hatred in your life. You can't be joyful as long as you're not going to forgive. Man, if everybody could see that, if you could, people could just get that over in their mind, and we step past the cross and pronounce those things dead in our life. Man, I used to be the world's worst with anger and everything else. But I died on the cross. That died on the cross. And looking to the cross, we see that Christ is all we need. He is our life, and he is our all. Philippians 3, 7 through 8. But what things were gained to me, these I counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all these things lost for the excellency of knowing of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. See, Paul said, you know, I left all that. I died to all that. All my hopes, all my dreams, I consider them as rubbish. But I want to know Christ and the knowledge of Christ, that I may gain him. So many times we come to Christ, And then, like so many people, we reach back and grab all those old dead things that we left at the cross and bring them back into our lives. We don't need to do that. You die to those things. Die to those things. Gossip. Man, that's just what we find in the church, you see. Backbiting. We like to talk about people. When you talk about somebody, you're not being like Christ. You're more like the devil. See, that's what the devil throws at us. You start talking gossip and backbiting, that's the dead man's talk. You see, that's what we did before we accepted Christ. Going to the old places in our life, I don't know where you might have went, what you were doing, but man, if you keep doing that, that's a dead man's walk, boy. Those things drag you down, down, down. You're crucified with Christ. Don't go back and drag that into your life. Thoughts that linger in our mind, that's a dead man's thinking. We must renew our mind. We must fill our mind on the things that are good. I don't even like to be around people with negative thoughts or dirty thoughts. You know, just don't bring it up. That's the old devil. You're giving place to the old devil in your life. That's rotten fruit. Man. And you let rotten fruit lie. And you know what? It'll rot everything else. It'll rot everything else. We had some tomatoes on our cabinet. They looked good for a while. But one of them got rotten. And the first thing you know, man, that little fungus just moved the rest, two or three of them, and I had to throw them out. You know, if you hang around with rotten stuff, it's going to be rotten in your life. Throw it away, Paul says. He says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. When I live for Christ, man, I have gain. Let me challenge you tonight. I feel like most of us are born-again Christians here. Let me challenge you to ask yourself, the life I now live, what does it look like? What does it look like? Does it look like Christ's life, or does it look like the old life? Paul says, the life I now live, I live by faith. Today we tell people that who are struggling, a lot of times, just live by faith. Well, when Paul said, I live by faith, what he was saying is, I am willing to lose control of my life and my trust and depend on God. I submit my life to God through Jesus Christ. Folks, we must be willing to trust Christ and put away. You're not in control. You know, we like to be in control, don't we? We're control freaks. Man, I can sit down in my living room. If that control's over at Rhonda, I'm mad at her. She don't watch what I wanted to watch. I feel like I'm not in control. She knows that. She says, here's your control system. You see? Not really. All through our lives, we need to ask ourselves, am I crucified with Christ? And it will only be answered in the realm of faith. You see, you will never reason out the crucified life. You never reason it out. You have to live it by faith, folks. To live by faith is actually letting Christ live in and through us. And he wants to. He wants you to live by faith in Him. But we've got to consider ourselves dead to the old things in life and alive to everything else that Christ wants to give us. It's just that way. And I'm so glad that with all the changes, I can look back at my life and see how God has changed me. Now, has He changed you? Is there still things you need to let go? If you're not saved tonight, then let go of the world and come to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you are saved, let go of the world and just live for Christ. Don't pick up those old dead things. Let them go and just live for Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight for Your blessings. And Lord, may we all consider ourselves crucified with Christ. And the life that we live now, Lord, let us live by faith in the Son of God who loves us and gave Himself for us. In Jesus' name, amen.